A small church in a rural town caught on fire. An elderly man who lived in that town came rushing as quickly as he could to help those in that small town throw water on the blaze. After the fire had been contained, the pastor said this to the elderly man. He said, "John, I've been here for 25 years, and I've never seen you at this church." To which old John replied, "Well, Reverend, I've never seen this church on fire before." It took you a while. It's Friday. I get it. Let's be honest with one another and our God this morning. The Christian church in America needs to be lit up. It needs to be set on fire. Not by the latest church growth fad or even the newest technology, but by the holy and inerrant Word of God. The very Word of God that He has given us as a gift so that we might know how to live and how to love. So that we might know how His Son Jesus lived and how much He loved. In our lesson for today, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he tells us that he laid the foundation upon which the church in Corinth had been built. When he said that, he didn't mean that he was personally involved with the brick and the mortar. What he means is that the foundation that had been laid there in that place was none other than the message of Christ crucified and risen. The message of salvation for sinners like you and me. And he warns the Corinthians in our verses for today that if they tried to build that church on anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, it would be destroyed. It would crumble. It would die. I read a story several years ago that made me smile. It was a story about an executive who worked for a telegraph company many, many years ago. He was on his way to a certain destination as part of the work that he did as the vice president of that telegraph company. He got to the bus station, and it was very cold outside, and so he decided to go into the telegraph office to wait for the bus to arrive. When he got inside, he realized that it was just as cold inside of that small little building. He walked over to the stove and noticed that there had been no fire built inside. So he walked over to the young telegraph operator and said, "You need to build a fire. You need to warm this place up." The young man, without even looking up, said, "Mister, I'm too busy sending telegraphs to build a fire." With that, the executive pulled rank. He told that young man that he was the vice president of the very company that he worked for, and he wanted him to send this message immediately. It read, "Fire this boy sooner than later." With that, the young telegraph operator got the message. He ran outside the telegraph office and he went and gathered the wood that had been set aside for such a task. He came in and started building a fire in the stove, and as he was building that fire in the stove, the executive of the telegraph company said to him, "Young man, have you sent that telegram yet?" To which the young man replied, "No. I'm too busy building fires to send a telegram." As you know from your own reading of Holy Scripture, in particular, Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul was busy with his words, putting out a variety of different fires. Let's be honest, the church of Corinth was a mess. They had become so divisive, so disorganized, so disoriented, that Luther once said that it was almost as if they had outgrown the gospel and saw very little need for the saving love of God in their lives. When I read these words, the first thing that comes to my mind is this concerning that congregation. It makes me think that they had forgotten to keep the main thing the main thing. You see, they had become so engrossed with their own wisdom, their own agendas, their own personal desires, that Satan had led them to take their eyes off the cross. It's a good thing that never happens in our church today. We're always focused. If only that were true. Because the truth of the matter is, like the Corinthians, we are sinners without excuse. Sinners in daily need of forgiveness and grace. And just as God himself calls out to the Corinthians in our letter for today through the Apostle Paul, he calls out to us. And he encourages us to keep the main thing in our hearts, in our homes, in our ministry, and in our church. Christ crucified and risen again, not just for the world, but individually and personally for each and every one of us. And that's why Paul writes these words in the first chapter of this letter. These are words that I shared with you on Wednesday, and they tie these two messages together, and I'd like to share them with you again today. Paul writes, "Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong, and to despise things and the things that are not, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." You see, that is who those people to Paul, to whom he writes, that's who they were. Once they were no people, but now they were God's people. And so very true for us as well, who stand under the cross again this morning and praise God for the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy and the life and the salvation he freely gives to each and every one of us through the gift of faith. Finally, the artist Rodin, many, many years ago, was traveling along a road, and when he got to a certain point in that road, he saw a beautiful hand-carved cross adorning the roadside. He loved it. He loved it so much that he bought it, and he had this large cross brought to his home. When it arrived, he realized there was a problem. It was so big it wouldn't fit in his house. You know what he did? He raised the roof. He kicked out the walls. And that cross became the center of his home. How true that must be for us. The cross of Jesus Christ has to be the center of our homes. And how many of us need to raise the roof? How many of us need to kick out the walls and allow the cross of Jesus Christ to be the center of our hearts and homes right here, right now, today? But it must not only be the center of our homes, it must certainly be the center of the church. And how many steeples need to be torn down? How many stained glass windows need to be punched out? How many doors need to be kicked open so that the gospel of Jesus Christ and his cross may be the focal point of all that we say and all that we do? I think you know the answer. My friends, by the grace of God, we come before our Savior God this morning because we can. We have total access to the Father whom we just prayed to this morning because of Jesus and because of what he's fully and freely done for us at the cross of Calvary, the very place he suffered our death, took our shame so that we might be forgiven and free to center our hearts, our lives, our homes, and his church on the cross. I want to thank you personally for allowing me to be a part of your community this past week. I want to thank you for your graciousness, your words of encouragement, and more importantly, your love. And I pray that as I've been able to be in your midst for this past week, that above all things, you've been encouraged by the love of Jesus. And with that, we say, amen.